Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast and all of our sponsors across the entire network, whether that be Built Bar, Roman, Rock Auto, Postmates, really whoever. We've got a lot of friends and important people that allow us to get these shows out to you every week, so always good to give them a little shout out. Locked On Podcast Network has something for all sports fans, whether that be soccer, whether that be hockey, whether that be college football, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever the case may be. There's a good chance that if you have a favorite team, there's a Locked On show directly for you. Just go to the Locked On Podcast Network across all of your favorite podcasting platforms and get started listening to your favorite shows for your favorite teams every single day. All right, for the Braves, it's been a very good weekend, particularly for the young guys. And, you know, for some of these young guys, that's not going to shock us. I mean, if I tell you that Ian Anderson went out and had an amazing start, that's really not going to shock many people when you look at what Ian Anderson has done since he's been up here as a pro. He's been absolutely spectacular. That one off start with the Marlins aside, he has looked absolutely incredible. Recently just beat Patrick Corbin and held the Nationals to one run. I mean, actually, he didn't give up any runs. Went seven innings, one hit, three walks, nine strikeouts. The nine strikeouts, a career high for him. The seven innings, also a career high. And for Ian Anderson, he is the first Braves pitcher to make it through seven innings. Max and Tukey have both gone 6 2/3, but it's young Ian Anderson who gets the first seven-inning game for a Braves starter this season. Absolutely incredible. And what's even more impressive is he really didn't have his best stuff. The second inning was really, really hard for him. I believe he had two of his three walks in that second inning. But for him to only have one hit, to settle down after that second inning and just go out there and dominate the rest of the game, really, really impressive for Ian Anderson. Also, the highest game score for an Atlanta Brave this year, that had an 81 game score, which is absolutely elite. Ian Anderson has already been, through his first four starts, has been absolutely electric. Has done everything and more that you could have hoped for him. There's going to be a lot of guys crowing about how they knew Ian was going to be this good, but this is a different Ian Anderson from what we saw this spring, and he looked really good this spring. This Ian is just in a totally other, separate dimension from what he was before, and it starts with the way that he goes about pitching. He's just so poised. It's one of the most impressive things about him. I mean, the stuff is super impressive. But he looks like Soroka out there, where he's just not fazed by anything. He's not worried about these hitters. He knows his stuff is better than what these hitters can do, and he's going out there and he's pitching like it. He's mixing up his pitches absolutely beautifully. He's throwing the right amount of that curveball. His changeup is already short list great in the league. I mean, it's just he's getting people to whiff on it like crazy. His fastball, even if he struggles with his command a little bit, which is what happened to him in the second inning of that start against Washington, he doesn't bail on the fastball, which is something we've seen from a lot of these other young guys, including the guy we're going to talk about after Ian here. But Ian knows that he's got to keep working it, and he's just got to get the command back, and he was able to do so against Washington, and it worked out fantastically for him. It's so impressive to see what he's doing, and you pair that with that changeup, which is already his best pitch. I mean, his fastball looks nice. That changeup is by far his best pitch. He knows how to sequence, and he knows what to attack with. He knows what his best way to go about it is, and he doesn't get predictable. He's willing to throw any of his pitches at any of his counts. He's got the right kind of confidence for a really, really dominant starting pitcher. He trusts that he can throw whatever pitch he needs for a strike. He's not worried about, I can only throw this up 1-2 or up 0-2 because I'm not certain I can throw it for a strike like a lot of these other young guys. He comes up, and he just knows, hey, if I want to throw this for a strike, I can throw it for a strike, and you can't do anything about it. And it's really impressive that he's able to generate so much swing and miss on a changeup that usually sits about 87, 88 miles an hour. I mean, there was an at-bat that you're going to see a lot of where he made Juan Soto look like a fool. He got Juan Soto out in front, swung and missed badly on an 87-mile-an-hour changeup right down the middle, belt high. One of the absolute worst places to put a changeup, and he made Juan Soto, one of the best hitters in baseball, look absolutely foolish. So really, really impressive from Ian, and that's an understatement. Ian has looked phenomenal. He's already settled in as the playoff number two. We'll see what happens when Cole Hamels comes back. Cole Hamels tentatively slated to start Wednesday in his first big league action since being signed by the Atlanta Braves this offseason. Still in a couple bullpens. We saw him a little bit after one of the games. Says he's good to go. I'm not sure what to expect from him. He hasn't really ramped up at all, so he's going to be trying to build a stamina up against big league hitters, which kind of lets you know where the Braves are at pitching-wise, especially without Max Fried, who looks like he should be back the day after Cole Hamels. So be nice to see Max back. And I think against the Yankees, one of the New York teams, where we'll see Max make his return to the rotation. But for Cole Hamels, I'm not expecting a ton. I don't expect him to go six or seven innings. 2 to 3 innings, I think, would be what you're looking at. Probably somewhere around maybe anywhere between 55 and 65 pitches, as long as everything still feels good. This is more about getting him tuned up for the postseason, because Cole Hamels, if he's able to get to where he can throw five good innings and get into the postseason throwing five good innings, then that's a huge boon for a team that really the only part that they lack is the starting rotation. So if Hamels is able to come back and solidify at least one of those spots and be able to get you to the sixth inning with the game in reach without having to blow your bullpen, that's gonna help immeasurably with this team. I don't think I would lock him in as the two. I think he'd be my three, just knowing that he's not going to go as deep into games as Max and Ian might. I know it's a tall task for a rookie to be the number two in your rotation, but honestly, with the way Ian's pitched, you can't deny him that. And this is a kid that he loves the challenge, and he's certainly looked the part so far. Now, granted, he hasn't faced the greatest lineups in baseball, but that's not any fault of his. I mean, he's gone out there and he's pitched brilliantly, and he went out there and he outdueled Patrick Corbin, who the Washington Nationals spent just a ton of money on, and really he looked like a guy who's been pitching in the big leagues for 10 years. So I'm for as down as I was a week ago about where the starting rotation is, I'm not ready to say that I'm perfectly happy with where it is right now. Like, I still wish that Alex had added somebody at the deadline. I still don't understand why Tommy Malone was the only pitcher you added. But it looks much better today than it looked at this time last week. And that's very, very important when you consider the Braves. If they're going to make it to the postseason, and they are, they need to get out of the first round. Otherwise, that's 20 consecutive times where they've been bounced after the first round. I know the Braves players are tired of that number. I know the Braves front office is tired of hearing that number. And I know Braves fans are tired of seeing that number. So for the Braves to actually get out of a first round would be very, very important. Even in the fact that 2020 is a very, very short season and weird things happen in 60-game seasons, for the Braves, getting past the first round is going to be a huge, huge thing. That in and of itself could mean the difference between what 2020 means for the ball club as a whole. Some other news before we go to break. Braves signed Pablo Sandoval to a minor league deal, optioned him to the he's at the alternate site right now along with Charlie Culberson. Not really certain why. Maybe there's an injury down there. Maybe they're just trying to see if they can catch lightning in a bottle for the playoff run as a bench bat, as a guy who can switch hit, play first base and third base. Maybe they don't feel like they've got great options behind Freddie Freeman now that Matt Adams is gone. I don't know. Maybe they don't feel like Camargo has responded super well at the alternate site. Don't really know. It's a no-risk signing. I don't expect you'll see him up here because Pablo Sandoval's awful now. Doesn't walk much, strikes out a ton, doesn't have really any power anymore. Just not really a good player anymore. But, you know, no harm, no foul when you're rolling the dice and something like that. But when we come back, we're going to take a look at Kyle Wright and what was so nice for him yesterday is he gets the first win of his career. We'll talk about Touki Toussaint, who's about to start right now. And we'll talk about the player sent down for Touki Toussaint. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Picking the right protein bar used to feel like playing Russian roulette with your taste buds. But not anymore, folks. Thanks to the guys at Built Bar, you no longer have to make the choice between taste and nutrition. Built Bars are all natural, gluten-free, and made with 100% real chocolate. None of that fake stuff here. There's even a special line for people with nut allergies made in a special nut-free facility. With only 110 calories and up to 20 grams of protein, Built Bar really is the perfect bar for any occasion, whether that's for breakfast, whether that's before you work out, or any time in between. It doesn't really matter. And I haven't even told you guys the best part. They don't taste like a foot. If you get the peanut butter fudge, it tastes like peanut butter fudge. It does not taste like foot with a bit of peanut butter spread over the top of it. Just go to BuiltBar.com and take your pick of a wide variety of flavors. Just make sure you get the toffee almond. I promise you won't regret it. And as a reward for listeners, use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout and save $10 off your first order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to save $10 off your first order. The perfect protein bar isn't a fantasy, it's Built. Go to BuiltBar.com today and see for yourself. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Locked On Braves. Like I mentioned before the break, yesterday was a very, very big day for Kyle Wright and his careers. He was able to get the first win of his big league career. I believe that was his 10th start, able to get his first win. And for a guy who's had about as bad of a 2020 season as you could possibly have, had to feel good for Kyle Wright. Looked really, really good. Gave up a fair number of hits. A lot of those were unlucky, but went 6 innings, which was really important for him. And for the second consecutive start, only walked 2 batters. Now, he only struck out 4, which is a little low for Wright, but he was able to overcome it because he did not walk people. And for Kyle Wright, that's going to be a really, really important thing for him going forward, especially if he's a guy that you can't consistently count on for really high strikeouts. For him to be able to limit the walks is going to be absolutely paramount. 8 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, but 2 walks, 1 homer given up, and the 4 strikeouts. You know, the homers, he's given up 4 in his last 2 starts, but we've talked about it on the Platinum Sombrero with my partner Doc over there. A lot of times when you've got a guy who doesn't have really good command, it can almost play to his advantage a little bit because it'll hide the home run numbers. It'll hide any deficiencies and stuff because he's not able to consistently throw it for a strike. When you're in the strike zone a lot, then it's just your stuff versus the hitter. And these major league hitters are major league hitters for a reason, folks. And sometimes you're going to lose. But I like that he's challenging hitters. I don't mind giving up solo home runs. I don't really like giving up 3-run shots, but solo home runs aren't going to hurt you too badly. Even 2-run shots with this offense aren't going to hurt you too badly. For instance, Justin Verlander, I believe, gave up 35 home runs, I believe it was, last season. And I think Justin Verlander's season turned out just okay. For Kyle, it was really important that he saw a lot of the results, or the process ended up matching the results a little bit. And he did continue to pitch on the far first base side of the rubber. His fastball looked really good again for the second consecutive start. Some bad luck in, I believe it was the 4th inning, had some bad luck happen to him, some bad luck for hits and some soft line drives and some bad defense behind him kind of hurt him a little bit. But he was able to recover, which was really important because for Kyle, recovery has not really been his strong suit thus far in his professional career. But I know last night had to feel good, gets him off the schneid, and hopefully we can kind of see Kyle start building on that success. Now that he's got the first one out of the way, even though pitcher wins don't matter at all, it's pretty much a useless stat. But for the players themselves and for a guy like Kyle who was drafted so highly, had so much expectations placed upon him, had to feel good to get that one in the win column finally. Hopefully we'll allow him to relax a little bit and play around and start to really let loose a little bit and stop being so tight and stop being so tightly wound and start to relax a little bit at the big league level and just let his talent shine through because he's still a very, very talented pitcher. Hopefully last night was the beginning of realizing a little bit of that. Which kind of brings me to the guy that we've got going tonight. Making his return to the rotation tonight is Touki Toussaint. Now, he's actually about to pitch right now. I'm currently recording the show, so I'm going to pick it up in probably the second or third inning or so. So we'll see how that first inning goes. As of right now, though, I'm hoping for the best for Touki because I really do love Touki Toussaint. He's a fantastic young man who has a lot of arm talent on his own. Big thing for him is same as Kyle Wright. He's got to learn to control those walks. And if he's able to stay in the strike zone and attack hitters, same thing with Kyle Wright. Sometimes you're going to get beat. Sometimes you're going to give up some home runs. Sometimes you're going to give up some hard hits. But if you aren't throwing strikes, then you're not going to have any chance to get the hitter out. So at that point, you can't pitch in the major leagues if you can't throw strikes. So for Touki, he's just got to trust his stuff. He's got that electric curveball. It's a fantastic movement on the pitch. His fastball command has really been down for a long portion of his career. This has kind of always been a problem with Touki. If he's going to remain in the rotation, he's going to have to fix that for sure and stop and find a way to stop missing arm side so much. But it's a big-time opportunity for Touki again as he makes the 11th start of his career, I believe it is. And on the flip side of that, Sean Newcomb, who had just gotten called up a day ago, he ends up getting optioned back to the alternate side in place of Touki Toussaint without ever getting in a game. That does kind of show you that Sean Newcomb as a starter, probably done here in Atlanta. I think at the start of the year, they let him try to start again because it was a very big deal to Sean. Didn't work out for him, and now he's fallen significantly behind a lot of the others. He got the Chad Sabatka treatment where he got sent down. Now, that could have also just been option-related. I haven't looked to see what other pitchers had options on the table who were back-end roster players. So for Sean, it could have just been a victim of the fact that you need a guy with options to send down so you didn't have to DFA anybody else and potentially lose them. The Braves did release Robbie Erlin today. Not all that surprising when you realize that Robbie Erlin did not pitch well for the Atlanta Braves at all. As a matter of fact, he pitched horribly and pitched far too often for how bad he was. You can't be a two-pitch pitcher and throw 89-mile-an-hour fastballs belt high. That does not end. That usually doesn't end well, and there's a reason why the Pirates were like, hey, we're good without you. So for Robbie, I don't want to be overly rude. Let's just say that the Robbie Erlen era in Atlanta was short-lived and deserved to be much shorter-lived than that. Hopefully we'll see Tukey come out and follow the Kyle Wright blueprint, follow the Ian Anderson blueprint, and really get after these guys. If he can keep the walks down, Tukey's got fantastic stuff. We saw what happened in that Toronto game when he went 6 2/3. He was absolutely dialed in. His stuff was playing perfectly. The command was strong, and he went out and he dominated. If he can do that again, it's probably a little too late for him to get a playoff start. But if he goes out there and looks like Ian Anderson, you know, it's not like Kyle Wright has locked anything up. Cole Hamels, we haven't seen Cole Hamels come back yet, so we don't know exactly where that's at. But Tukey can certainly earn himself a very important role as a swingman. Which in the playoffs, if you're talking about starting a young kid like Ian Anderson or starting a guy in Cole Hamels who had the triceps injury and really hasn't had a chance to build up a lot of stamina, swingmen are going to be very, very important for Atlanta in the playoffs. So it's a good battle between Tukey and Kyle Wright to see who might be the number one swingman in the rotation. Kyle, I would believe, is ahead, as evidenced by the fact that he got the first start back up, and he's been mentioned a little bit more as far as making the changes at the alternate site. But for Tukey Toussaint, certainly has the ability to pitch himself back into that conversation, and certainly has the ability to earn himself some good chances to pitch in the postseason. Really looking forward to that. Still no Folty, which kind of lends a little bit back to what I've said about Alex Anthopoulos in the past, which is just I don't trust him. Made a big deal about praising Folty. Peter Gammons made a tweet about Folty throwing 95, and he's about to be back in Atlanta. Well, there's not really any spots for him back in Atlanta anymore, unless Tukey flounders again, or unless Kyle Wright flounders again, or Cole Hamels isn't able to go. I'm not certain what's going to happen with Folty, but I'm not willing to trust Alex Anthopoulos at this point. It's almost like if you guys are Avatar Last Airbender fans, when Zuko chants that mantra, Azula always lies, kind of feel the same way about Alex. Alex always lies. Not quite sure where that leaves Folty. If he does come back up, I actually think pairing Folty with Cole Hamels would make for a really interesting pairing. Cole obviously is not going to be set to go 6-7 innings for the rest of the season and into the postseason. So if Folty really is pitching a little bit more like second half Mike Foltynewicz of last season, then that's a pretty deadly combination and should help save your bullpen some innings. Not that your bullpen has been overworked. That's kind of a misconception. But they have started to, a lot of guys' performances have started to drag a little bit. You got AJ Minter, who's been the best player in that bullpen. Mark Melanson has been pretty good. Will Smith had a good outing, but he's been mostly bad this season. Now, granted, he missed just about all of his buildup to the season due to COVID. But he needs to pitch a lot better. Luke Jackson has been bad this year, and you look at his Statcast numbers, it's even worse than that. So any help the starting rotation can give this bullpen would be appreciated, especially after the bullpen has had to carry this starting rotation the entire season. So if you can get Folty back up and he's able to work 3-inning stints behind Cole Hamels and get you to the 7th or 8th inning with the team in good position, then that's going to be a major boon for the bullpen for guys like Shane Green and Mark Melanson, who are a little bit older and don't need to be pitching every single day. For this Braves team, though, that's a much better lineup. That's a much better team roster heading into the postseason. If you can get these guys to kind of click, it can almost follow suit of what the Nationals did last year. The Nationals weren't a great team last year. They weren't very talented. They had Rendon and they had Soto. They had Scherzer, they had Strasburg, but Scherzer wasn't that great last year. Strasburg was amazing. Losing him was a big deal. Patrick Corbin was good last year, but overall, their roster was not a fantastic roster. It's not much different than the roster they've got right now, and they're not playing well at all. They just caught fire at the right time. Their bullpen got really good at the right time. Their starters in the playoffs, when you're able to condense to Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, that's a tough starting three for anybody. It doesn't really matter how they're all pitching. That is an outstanding 1-3 that you'd take over just about anybody else in baseball. So for the Braves, if they can click at the right time, and it certainly looks like they might be able to do that, they can head into the playoffs after having a full season of horrendous starting pitching, turn it on at the right time, and go into the playoffs as one of the most well-balanced teams in baseball. And if they're, I'm not sure that I would pick them over LA, because I do think that LA team is the best team in baseball and just an absolute juggernaut. But certainly they can give LA a run for their money. And if they can get that starting pitching ironed out heading into the postseason, they've got the offense to beat anybody. Statistically, the number one offense in Major League Baseball, I might add. Score a ton of runs. It is kind of annoying when they don't score runners from third base with less than two outs, but It's a Braves team that scores a lot of runs. It's a team that you're never really out of a ball game when you've got an offense like Atlanta. So if you can just get the starters to be average and allow yourself to get into that bullpen with the game still in hand, and Snicker can make himself use his best relievers in the highest situation, then you've got a recipe for postseason success, because I do think this lineup is going to hit. One more thing, I'm a little bit over on this segment, but it does need to be mentioned, and we'll talk about this a lot tomorrow. Freddie Freeman quietly having an absolute bomber of a year. This is the best he's ever looked, and this is a season where, quite honestly, he should win the MVP. If you look at his rankings as they stand with everybody else, Freddie's basically first or second in just about every offensive category. Now, the MVP favorite is pretty much by far going to be Fernando Tatis, but Freddie Freeman most certainly deserves plenty of first place votes. And if he wins it, if he continues this barrage and he wins it, it will be well deserved, as Freddie Freeman has taken the sting of what happened in the playoffs last year, and he has come out with a vengeance this season, as he has looked absolutely spectacular. It's good for the Braves, and it's great for Freddie Freeman, and it's great for you, and it's great for me. It's fun to talk about when the Braves are doing well. As it is, I'm about to end this podcast, and I'm going to go ahead and go watch this game and see how Tuki Toussaint looks. So for everybody else out there, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.